My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good evening, Patriots. And today is Saturday, March 16th in the year 2024. We're going to cover some interesting perspectives tonight on the absence of the church at a very critical time and critical hour in our nation. We become a society so dependent upon the institutions of man, meaning that of whether it's family services or some sort of response by the police, but we deal very little anymore with the involvement of the church into social problems of where the church should be. We got some good examples to go over, and it's a pretty disturbing view of what where our nation has fallen to. Before we get going tonight, I want to remind you that there is a real critical time that we're in, and this has to do with a crazy pedophile cabal that literally has seized control of the world, trying to shut down food supplies. We're in some very critical hours as well of instability. We have supply chains being tested, food processing plants burning down. We have shortages of food that are beginning to emerge, and they're really going to start emerging as we also see a decline of the dollar's buying power. You need to be prepared for the unexpected and for the unknowns, and part of that is having a great food plan, and that food plan begins with emergency food. My Patriot Supply is the sponsor that continues to provide that great support for Bards Nation. If you head on over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com, you're going to find the 3-month emergency food kit, which is extremely well designed. It's established with each of the products are sealed in 4-layer bags. They have 25-year shelf life, and they are designed to give you all the energy you need at any time, especially during crisis. 2,000 calories a day, well thought out meal plans that don't fatigue you from eating the same thing over and over. And all of that is available there at a great discount right now. So check it out at preparewithbards.com. And if you order same day before 3 p.m., you'll get same day free shipping. So check it out, preparewithbards.com, for the My Patriot Supply 3-month emergency food kit and others as well. So check it out. So we are in a real interesting place in our nation. I want to begin with a couple of clips to kind of put things in perspective. It's some things that I'll just, what can we say? They're interesting. Here, let's take a listen to this.
Oh, let's play a fun game. If you were a country and you were looking for behaviors or things that you saw in another country which would make you know that that country is ripe to be taken over and we should go get it, what are those types of behaviors you guys would look for?
My son does identify as a cat, but I cannot take him to a vet because I tried that and the veterinarian told me that because he has human anatomy, that he does not know how to work on him or diagnose him with anything. And he legally cannot. So, and while I do think that is a form of discrimination, because, you know, my son, if he says he's a cat, he is a cat. And he needs to be treated like that, like one, you know? But I'm not going to press charges because I know that he could lose his license if he did work on my son. So I'm not going to try to sue him or anything. So don't worry. But this is something that I want to raise awareness on, because I do think that people that identify as an animal should be able to go to the vet.
Shit.
I couldn't hold it. I'm telling you, this is, I think we need to title this show tonight, The State of the Union. This is for real. Okay. And I'm just going to start there. And I think that where we begin, and most appropriately, is one more. Well, I just got to do one more, because it's just, I think it's a better view when we start to hear something. We need something a little more intensely serious than that one, but it's true. Here, we'll play this one. This is from a former judge, and wow, what can I say? I mean, we are really in an interesting place in our nation right now. And it's disturbing, to say the least. Here we go.
So as a former federal prosecutor and judge, I'll start today with a refresher on a few of the things that are currently illegal in the United States of America. It is illegal to traffic fentanyl in the United States of America. Human trafficking is illegal in this country. Theft is illegal in this country. Rape and murder are illegal in this country. What's more, the Department of Homeland Security has an absolute obligation to detain and remove those who enter this country illegally. We do not need more laws. We need a president of the United States and a secretary of the Department of Homeland Security who enforce the laws of this country.
Yeah, that would be a nice start. And unfortunately, there's a reflection, I think, of where we are, which ultimately goes back to the pulpit. And I've talked a lot about this. Our nation was built on the pulpit. And this is a great quote by Charles Finney. And Charles Finney there was a Second Great Awakening in the early 1800s. And one of the leaders of that Second Great Awakening was Charles Finney. So let me read his words, which I think speak volumes in this day. It says, "Christ crucified for the sins of the world is the Christ that the people need. If immortality," let me start again, "if immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore the fact, my dear brethren, but let us lay it to heart and to be thoroughly awake to our responsibility in respect to the morals of this nation. It was Charles Finney. He could have written that today. Could have been on the show. Could have been a regular voice on the show, because that is essentially dead on. The pulpit is responsible for it. And this cringes, it makes some people cringe. It's the idea of being too harsh on the pulpit. Without the pulpit being strong, vocal, and forward-leaning, we're never going to accomplish what we need in this nation. It's an interesting post that came up today by Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. He says, Americans are losing their children to a satanic cult. I've traveled all over the country, all 50 states. I've been in good places and bad places. The one thing I saw, we are losing our kids to a satanic cult. We've lost our moral values across the country. We've got to get back to the Constitution. We have to get back to the Bible. We've got to get God back in our country, he continued. There's not one Democrat that can tell you they stand up for God. Senator Tuberville expanded on his claims in the later interview. They've basically taken God out of everything that we're doing. I don't know any other way to express it other than it is some kind of cult that they're trying to push on our kids and all Americans. We have got to get back to our moral values. If we can't get back that and let the Democrats continue to push this cult on us and take God away from our country, we're going to have huge problems. Well, arguably, we already do. I want to play this piece, and it's a piece that I found on YouTube. It's interesting. It's titled, Entitled 18-Year-Old Causes Complete Chaos During Arrest. I want you to hear the story. It's very interesting. There's no one to blame here. I want to be clear about this. This is a broken system, and it's a tragic story. And I'm just going to kind of lay it out so you have some context. In this story, there is a young black girl that is sitting in a vehicle. That vehicle is owned by her caseworker. The caseworker has taken her around town to get her some things. The thing is, this girl is 18 years old. The caseworker has brought her back to the hotel to where her boyfriend was supposed to be there, where she could live with him or join him. The girl has no money. The money was stolen from her. The caseworker can't do anything more for her because she's 18 and is no longer available or of age to get help from the system. And so a police officer has been called in because the girl is refusing to leave her car. The boyfriend has dumped her. And now you're starting to see, you're in a moment here where the girl is literally having to make a choice of life and survival. The system doesn't allow any of this. Let me play some of this clip and then we'll continue to talk about it. Hang on just a sec. We're going to share this. Still getting used to it. We're doing screen share today on Zoom. Here we go. No, that's not it. Yeah, it is.
Refused to leave her caseworker's vehicle.
So the situation pretty much is I picked her up and I took her to like run errands all over town. Uh-huh. She told me that she was going to stay with a friend here. So I brought her, here. She was trying to get a hold of the friend. The friend wouldn't answer. Finally, he did. He said that he was like 2 hours away. So I said, okay, cool. Like, you can either stay here with your stuff or I'll take you to McDonald's for him there. She didn't want to do either or. So then she got a hold of that guy again. And he said that he apparently wasn't staying here anymore. He decided to go somewhere else. I said, well, you need to start calling like friends, family, whoever, you know, to try to figure out like where you're going to stay. Because we don't do placement after they're 18.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I don't have anybody. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, we're kind of SOL. And so she's like, just drive. And I'm like, well, where do you want me to take you? And I said, I have to take you somewhere. And she's like, well, just take me to the office. And I'm like, I can't take you to the office because you're over 18.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like stuck because she doesn't have any money. Somebody apparently stole her money that I gave her on Friday because they get checks every month. She cashed it on Friday. She said she stayed at one hotel Friday, and then she stayed with a friend. She ended up getting arrested, I believe, on Sunday for a warrant that she had out and battery on an officer as well.
What's her name?
Deja.
Ah, yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah.
I heard that.
She told me she was trespassed, but that you guys never gave her anything, so... But I took her there to get her stuff. She got her stuff from there. That's who she's blaming, that took her all her money. So I called my boss. I told her the situation. That's her calling right now. She said, well, you need to call my office because...
Yeah. Let me talk to her. Get her out. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, you already did the favor of taking her around, which you don't have to. And it's just ridiculous. How come she hasn't got a job?
That's another story. So, yeah.
She's allergic to
another day. Yeah.
She's allergic to
She said she had a job at Dreams in El Paso, and I guess that never panned out. I don't know what to do with her. And my boss says I can't stay with her all night, obviously.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And she doesn't like law enforcement.
Of course not. Nobody does.
What happened?
Yeah, Deja.
What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing
at all.
I'll talk to you. Later.
All right. You don't need to talk to me, but you do need to get out of the car. All right. She needs to take off.
Okay.
All right.
Later. Get away from me. Now.
Get out of the car.
Can you get...
Yeah, I'll move out the way. But you're going to get out the car. She has to go do stuff.
I understand.
Okay, cool.
Goodbye.
Go ahead and unbuckle and get out.
I don't need a... Goodbye.
Just unbuckle and get out, ma'am.
Okay, so we're going to move forward on the story a bit. You've got the context. This is a young girl that's now in the car. She has no place to go. She has no money. If she steps out of this car, the only security that she has is gone. The only chance of a lifeline that she might have is gone, and she's on the street. It's likely, just by her behaviors, that she's probably been raped before. She has no family. She has no friends, which is very possible in the situation that she can call upon is the key thing. And the boyfriend that she was going to stay with is no longer at the hotel where they've dropped off, where he told her he would be. He's moved to another hotel. She's been dumped. Caseworker can't provide her with any information or any support. She's 18 because there's no more programs available. It's too bad she's not illegal. She'd be getting a $50,000 gift card right now in New York, not exaggerating. The police officer now is put into a position where the case officer, manager, is going to have to go back to the office. She's being called back. They don't have any capacity. The police officer is now in a bind where he has to execute the duty of getting her out of the vehicle. Now, here we go. We're going to continue.
I'm waiting for you to leave me alone.
Get out of the car.
I am out of the car.
Get completely out of the way so she can leave.
No.
And I'm going to walk over here, get what stuff you
need. I don't care what you need to walk over and do.
Walk over and do so. Okay. I'm going to walk away for now. But when I come back.
I don't care.
Get out. Don't step to me. Get the away. Don't put your fucking hand in my face.
I'm going to hit you right now.
Don't touch me and don't put your hand in my face.
I ain't touching you.
I'm telling you right now, don't put your hand in my face.
All right? The f*** is that, G? What the f*** is that?
Okay. So now.
Bye!
Get out of the car.
Don't
get out of the car. Get out of the car. I took you. Don't get in the car.
Her life just ended. Right then. Because any hope that she had of not going onto the street just ended. This story is tragic because we're sitting here, first of all, in a nation that's opening our borders to illegals that have zero right in this country whatsoever, that are housed, transported, given free meals, given everything they need. And we have a young girl that has no family. She has no place to go. She is an American citizen, without question about that. And now she's caught into the system that has absolutely no care. This girl now is damaged on a second time, if not more than a second time. The trauma that she's going to go through now, and it continues. And what happens next is now that they go to a place where they're going to try to put her into the vehicle. And this vehicle that they're putting her in has a small compartment, and she keeps kicking to prevent her from going into the vehicle. And why this becomes important is they can't close the door. So let's move forward on this, and we'll get up here in just a moment. So here we go. What's happening now is she's being manhandled by three police. I'm not faulting the police here. They're doing everything they can to get her in a car. She's kicking and screaming. She can't. She's already hit her head. And now they're trying to calm her down, but she's totally freaking out. What happens next is standard procedure, but it's they take her out of the car. And now they're bringing her down and laying her on the ground. And they're going to put her into a body straitjacket. And now they proceed to take her to the hospital to be reviewed. And then they will book her for resisting arrest. This young girl is a victim of a system that is broken. I don't blame the police officers. I think they do an exceptional job. I truly mean this. There's about five of them on station. They're talking to one another. The lead officer is doing an incredible job of being careful. The procedures that they do are literally for her own well-being because she's kicking and she's emotionally out of control. When they went into the first vehicle, she smashed her head into the side of the grate. And so when they put her back in, but I want you to, we're looking at two lenses here. Police officers are trying to prevent her from harming herself. They're putting her into a body straitjacket, and they're going to put a helmet on her head. It's to prevent her from smashing her head because she's emotionally out of control. If you listen to the piece carefully, she's calling out for her caseworker. Why? Because the caseworker is the only family she has. And the caseworker has no ability to do anything and is being called back to the office. What little family she had was gone. And it's being stripped, and now she's being thrown into the most brutal part of the system, being treated as a harsh criminal. Now I want to just snapshot this moment before we go deeper. Right now, we have approximately 12 million illegal aliens that have come across the border in the last 3 years that get treated with more dignity and respect than this young girl. We have illegal aliens that are coming across this border that are being trafficked by cartels, and they're treated with more respect than this young girl. This young girl's dressed, for those of you on the audio side, is dressed very nicely. And you can hear the conversations. Why doesn't she have a job? What's going on? And there is this, as if she's supposed to have all these things when we're opening our gates to this country and giving everything away for free. I'm not blaming anybody here. But the system, even in the perceptions and morals of our nation, is completely fragmented and destroyed. We have nothing we're standing on now except vapor. Now, here's the other part of this story that's so sad. Each one of these few people, I don't believe in the heart, as we listen to these officers and this caseworker, I don't believe that they want this to happen. But I do know that they have no choice because their hands are tied. There's nothing they can provide. But the question we have to ask, which is, and it's a very simple and the most obvious question of all, where's the church? Where in the world is the church? That officer should have a number he could call right now. It should be on his phone, one number, that he could say, I need assistance here to help place somebody. And there should be a network of pastors, prayer team, deliverance teams, and outreach that should be available immediately and on call, ready to step in and do what the church is supposed to be doing. We're going to give her food, shelter. We're going to give her prayer. We're going to give her support and to help her emotionally reset, and then we're going to help her find a job. That's what the church should be doing. And if you wonder if that can actually happen, that's exactly what the Church of Glad Tidings does in Yuba City, one of the reasons I love that church so much. Pastor Dave Bryant, many years ago, went down to the juvenile hall, and he talked to the police officers, and he asked them, he said, can we be of assistance to you? And the response was, thank you. We've never had a church step up and ask us if we could use your help. Yes, we can. That is a glimpse into the great American religious enterprise that has completely failed this nation. That's the pulpit that Finney talked about, that it was broken. And the reason we are here is because it's the pulpit that has failed. And unfortunately, when we don't teach these values in the church, and we aren't pushing people to step outside the pew, we're not stepping out and pushing people to go beyond the dead stone walls, this is where we end up. This young girl could be saved. In a critical moment, there's so much damage she's already gone through. And it's no doubt that she has problems. And I'm not even saying that I would be the one equipped to do it or you. But the fact of the matter is, a system, as a network of churches, as a body of Christ, we have an obligation to step in here. This is where we need to be going. But we're not. Instead, we're comfortable just sitting over here on the side as a general body. I'm not putting my finger on anybody tonight, to be very clear. I'm just talking about the general reaction of a society. And we are not in a place right now where, as a society, we're even caring about these people. We're whining about illegals coming in and allowing it to happen. And we're turning our back on our youth that need us desperately and even judging them. I go back to the title of this piece. Now you know the whole story. Now go back to the title of this piece. Entitled 18-Year-Old Causes Complete Chaos During Arrest. Tell me what is entitled about having no money, having no place to live, having no family, and being thrown out on the street in the one moment, in the one place where you had some security. It was inside of a vehicle, and your stuff, everything that you own, is in the tail boot of the car. How is that entitled? But even the statement here on this is set up wrong. I went through and read these comments, and not all of them, but many of them, and there's a lot of comments. There's 33,000 comments on this piece. This piece posted in October of 2023. This channel has 46,000 subscribers. This particular video received 2.1 million views. And this piece was just posted 13 days ago. There's 33,000 comments. And almost every one is talking about complimenting the police officer and denigrating the girl. How did we get here? How did we possibly get to such a place as this? This is a young girl that needs hope. And we have thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of more like this. And they're getting lost in a system that is so broken and people are so distracted. We're sitting here worrying about illegals and forgetting about our own. We have drug problems running rampant, fentanyl's pouring across our border. Kids are dealing with drug issues. They're dealing with pressures from their youth. They're dealing even with pedophiles who are roaming rampant and taking advantage of all of this, not to mention just the human sex trafficking people. And again, the question, where is the church? The most powerful entity we have in this nation is the church. It's more powerful than any other entity out there. It is not required to pay taxes. It is not required by Constitution to have any allegiance to this government. It is not required by the Constitution to abide by any of the restraints put on by legislative law. It purely has authority under the Constitution. The church can have its own police. The church can have its own armed militia. The church can have its own recovery programs. The church can speak truth from a pulpit when no one else can say it can. The church can do whatever it needs to do to speak truth to power. Because the truth is based on God's law. The church is the most powerful entity in the nation. And it has become the most weak entity in the nation. The church has a right willfully to go out and do whatever it needs in the community to help. It can set up beds. It can set up recovery. It can do whatever it needs. These children should be on the top of the list. There should be a 911 call for the churches to step in. Pastors' main duty should be taught in seminary, in Bible college. Every one of them should be taught that your preeminent mission is to do outreach and make sure that nothing happens to the little ones. That should be stamped on their forehead. Their entire congregation should be built around it. And yet we're not. We take the offerings into a church, and then what happens? Where is the places for these people to go? Back to Pastor Dave Bryan and his effort down there at Church of Glad Tidings. They just took a position to purchase a former women's prison. Why? Because this women's prison, which is heavily protected, obviously, with its exterior security measures, which has to be completely renovated, by the way. But they're going to turn this into a child recovery center. We need one of those centers for teens, for young adults. They need to have them. We're in a place right now where this nation is emotionally, spiritually, and morally broken. And I don't believe that the church, as it currently is equipped, can handle it. We're not pushing the places in the main body church of the apostolic, the fivefold ministry. We're not talking about apostolic, prophetic, but most importantly, we're not pushing hard enough on the healing, the deliverance, and the raising of the dead. And raising of the dead is also spiritual. This is such a critical time right now in this nation to start reviving the church. And when I say that, I feel very comfortable saying this because that's what we're doing in Bars Nation. That's what we're involved with in the acquisition of this property in Flemingsburg, Mandolin Farms, to create a place where people can come. It's not necessarily recovery in the way we're talking about, but it's a place where people can come, congregate, and we can begin to exercise the training and the betterment of the saints for the work of the ministry. But we have to build this out. This has to be a way that we can start projecting God's power outward and the power of heaven outward so this stuff stops happening. I guarantee you, if this police officer, if this police officer had someone he could call to avoid having to drag this girl out and put her through this, he would do it. Now, I'm not going to take, this whole thing is emotional, and it's not like everybody's in the good here. This young girl gets totally dialed up. She spits in a police officer's face later in the video. And then what ends up happening is they take and put a hood over her head. It's a net they put over her head and then put her helmet back on. What I'm telling you here is there's no blame to be put here. Everybody has done their job as they are allowed and to the best of their ability within that. But this job is dehumanized to such a level that this girl has no hope, no ability to recover. All she's going to become is another statistic in our society. And that's a sick, sick statement where we are as a nation, that we're willfully allowing that to happen, willfully allowing this sort of damage to continue as we watch an entire nation get ravaged by itself. The system's breaking down. And right now, that's has to be highlighted because if we don't, we're not going to understand what we actually could be and what we're committed to. We're committed to a satanic cult right now, whether we like it or not. Let me read you this. Matthew 24:11-13. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. In this time, we need more love, not less. In this time, we need more forgiveness, not less. Because there's so much casualty, and it's only going to get worse. We have to be able to extend our hand and open our doors. We don't get the comfort of just being able to turn our back on things, not if we're going to walk in this path that we say we are. And not if we're going to honor what Jesus asked us to do. That video, when I first watched it, literally brought me to tears. And this is a huge statement from a guy who 5 years ago would have just said, what a dumb girl. What an unfortunate casualty of society. The casualty is the young girl, but the society is the one that's caused it. And at one point or another, we all have that on our hands. And unfortunately, until we start to make the big changes at the level where we can, the system is never going to catch up. The system is never going to be right. The system is never going to be fixed. This is where, as we walk in the body of Christ versus those that say want to walk in that ideological foolishness of woke, Welk is going to try to build more rules. They're going to try to add more taxes. They're going to try to add more people. We need to have more caseworkers. We need to open up the responsibility of caseworkers so they can start offering free stuff to 18-year-olds. We need to provide police officers with more tools. They need to be pulled away. We need to take their guns away. We need to provide a caseworker with every police officer. Some nonsense like that. Nothing's going to work in any of that. It's just more layers of bureaucracy and more people that get lost and broken. What we need is what we have. We have churches. We just need them to do their job. And the body of Christ needs to start standing up. And since it seems that many of the churches won't, then we must. And that means that organizing locally and working and reaching out, each and every one of us has the potential to reach out and start filling some of this gap. That doesn't mean you take them in your home, but it means you start working together as a community to start building this network and working with churches where you can to start awakening them to the gap that we have so that we can start leaning in. But it has to happen because there has to be a change. And I will guarantee you, this is not the way it should be right now. We should be seeing this greater outreach, and it takes courageous people to do that. It takes a lot of hard work to get it done. And it takes certain types of people that do it better than others. Lou, who founded the Church of Glad Tidings, amazing man, his passion is working with the most broken. He goes into the prisons. He works with them. He ministers to them. And they have entire prison ministries that then bring the people back to the Church of Glad Tidings where they go through recovery, break from addictions, drug addictions, other addictions, and then get themselves set right. They go through deliverance. It's a whole network. It is a fivefold ministry that they experience. And they have great success rate. And so it is one of those places. And I say that too, because if people ever wonder why, like the one church that I work with regularly and will, and the one pastor that I work with as often as I can, and his team, and I will continue, and that is the Church of Glad Tidings. It's just because of this type of ministry that's truly in the trenches and getting to the people in the greatest of ways. It's not speaking in platitudes from a pulpit. It's not trying to wax poetic over all that you know about the scripture. It's getting into the hard work of helping people stand up, helping people be recovered, getting their hands dirty day in and day out, and watching the miracles of God work in the most broken. And this is where we all need to be directed towards. And it's, again, not something that just happens. It begins, though, with an orientation and a direction and faith in which we have to work in. These youth are in desperate need of love. And fundamentally, that's what it comes down to. It's the lack of love and lack of compassion in our world. And it's where we have to step in now and we have to show them truly what the true compassion and love of a believer is. And that's on all of us. It's not left to one or the other. It's just us working to help move that position down the road. And as we do, it would be a perfect dream to see the ecclesia literally rise again. That was looking beyond just the physical immediate body of the church, but extending that into the community where the church became the resource. The church became in that perfect image. And this is the image I want to leave here with tonight. Where should the church be? It should be a pulpit that speaks boldly about tyranny. It should be a pulpit that calls out the broken aspects of our society. It should be a pulpit that tasks and challenges every single person in the pew and in the audience to get out into the community. It should be a pulpit that is constantly pushing towards breaking past the walls and getting into the most endangered parts of our community. It should be a pulpit that is actively reaching out to these to police officers and caseworkers and bridging the gap to make sure that they're there. Not just one church, not just one pastor, but all churches collectively. It should be a pulpit. The doors are open when somebody comes in and they need something to eat and they need a place to sleep. They can stay there. This isn't idealisms. This is the church as it should be. And we take on these greater responsibility because that is how literally we revive the body of Christ. I will guarantee you, if the church was that way, we would not have a shortage of faith in this nation. if the church was a place truly that was lifting people up, not just a Sunday club, there would not be a shortage of people flocking to the churches to be part of it. They're not, people innately aren't seeking free stuff. They're seeking to be filled and filled with the love and the power of what Christ offers. And that's truly where we need to be getting back to. And that's the hard work. That's the day in and day out work. It's the work where we start to bring other people closer into our circles than perhaps we're comfortable with, and we learn to grow. And it doesn't ever stop. It's not something that we do for a while and go, okay, got that box checked, and away we go. It just continues to grow. We have to continue to expand that level of ministry. We have to continue to lift people up and listen to the gifts and talents that we each have. I think what we've effectively demonstrated, especially when I look back to Bartsfest this last time in Flemingsburg, what we saw there was such a wide range. And this is the beauty of camping, because we got to see people in just so many different ways. And we got to see people in, we had somebody actually brought chickens to sell, which was awesome. We have seen people come in so many different ways and forms. We saw healing that was incredible. We saw restoration of families. We saw freeing of people from past bondages. We saw people breaking through addictions. It doesn't just end there. It's where it begins. And when we see these sort of traumas and these sort of dynamics, and you see a community surround around in prayer and in calling in on the Holy Spirit and literally empowering that which is intended by God, we truly start to see the power of what we can do in restoration in a nation. We have a lot of challenges ahead, tremendous amount of challenges. And by design, those that are pulling the strings are intending to rip us apart. They're wanting those that are here to be punished. They want the new people coming in to be rewarded. This is pitting new against old. This is a division tactic to divide and conquer, to create so hate and misery. There's animosities being developed already. This young girl will grow up with enormous amount of animosities towards the system, likely hatred. She's ripe to be recruited into the folds of drug dealing, human sex trafficking, or even just the general voice of hatred from a youth. She won't love the Constitution. She'll hate it, because the Constitution, as she understands it, is what allowed all this to happen. She's never read it. I can guarantee you that. And she probably won't enjoy the Bible. She won't be attracted to the Bible, because what she's seen is a society that claims itself to be Christian. This is the outcome. So why would I possibly, in her mind, why would she possibly be interested in any of this? The irony is that when churches did open their doors and brought people in, they were all excited about giving everybody shots. They were welcoming people to come in and flock and take that jab to save a nation. Put your mask on to be subdued like a slave in the presence of God. It's horrific. But when it comes to the hard outreach, the majority of churches just don't do it. That has to change. And the only way it's going to change is when we decide it's going to change. We have to do that work. And that begins with small things. It begins with little things. Even just when if you're out and you're seeing people needing food, it's a matter of just giving them something. It doesn't matter whether they receive it well or not. It's the sowing of the seed. We have to get to a place where we start to pay attention to the discarded. Jesus paid attention to the discarded. They were called prostitutes and tax collectors, and he paid a lot of attention to them. And he paid a lot of attention to them, in my opinion, for a reason, because that reason is that they understood truly the underbelly of society, and because they had been there, they understood the glory of what he was offering as a message. The hatred for our faith, the hatred for Christianity in this nation, and this is a harsh term, but it's been earned. It's been earned because the true heart of Christ, as Finney talked about, the true heart of the sacrificial Christ is not living in its essence and its glory now in this nation. It's living in the words. It's living in the nice speeches and the nice niceties of sermons, while people sit back and literally are out here in this day living comfortably, talking about the problems but not getting their hands dirty in the trenches. it's good to lose everything once in a while. It reminds you of what is really important. And it's not that you wish that on anybody, but in scarcity, we lose. We begin to realize what we had, and we start to value what God gives. We're heading into that place. We're heading into a time when greater loss will occur. We're witnessing it every day. People are dying from the COVID shot. It's not a day goes by you don't hear of somebody in the hospital or dying. This is our new reality. We're in a place now when the economy is collapsing. People are starting to lose incomes. They're starting to be evicted. They're letting their homes repossessed. Many, many things are happening. And the system is starting to crush down on those that have little when they can take advantage of them. We have to be prepared for this big change. And that begins not with retracting, but expanding, of opening our hearts in a greater way, of giving more and not giving less. This is what we do. And when we're reminded about one girl here, one girl of thousands that are just like her, she's forgotten, she's in the system. In fact, many will rally around that edge and cheer the fact that she's now in jail. Take that menace off our streets. Take that young, entitled girl and slam her in behind doors. Keep her away from me. I don't want that attitude in me. I don't want somebody spitting on me until they get through themselves. And it will happen. And suddenly everything changes. We are literally 9 meals from anarchy. This nation, on the average, people have no more than 9 meals worth of food in their house. You take that away, and you are in true anarchy. And we're getting closer by the day. So, in the whole perspective here tonight, truly in the nature of this entire show, the gospel of peace, we need to walk as Jesus walks. We need to do what Jesus asks us to do. We need to seek out those that are forgotten. We need to raise them up in the glory and beauty of Christ. We have to go to the places that a lot of people don't want to go. That means reaching out. It means going to the places that are uncomfortable. It means getting our hands dirty. And it means bringing the gospel and a bit of hope and love. It's amazing what that will do. We all need to awaken a ministry in each of our own walks, each and every day, to reach those that otherwise are forgotten. And unfortunately, that's a lot of people in this nation right now. But on the good side, what a more glorious work to be called to do, to raise a nation up, to love Jesus, and to restore this nation under our King. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you tonight for just a humbling reminder of whom we are and what our mission is. A humbling reminder, Father, just to be able to sit here now and realize how much we are blessed with and how many go without. We're in a difficult time, Father, a time of incredible disparity, laws that are broken, crime that runs rampant, promises that are being made that are never fulfilled. Politicians that lie constantly to retain power, manipulate people to keep people divided. Father, we're declaring a blessing over this nation right now, a blessing of open hearts and of a blessing of love. The time right now to break down those barriers, to stop seeing color and all these other things as a divider, but instead starting to see the heart of each person as the uniter. Let us find that fabric and that body of Christ that is truly that where the hearts are united and it is stepping aside the false divisions that have been placed upon us. Father, this is a difficult time as a nation as we come to a greater awakening of who we are. We are not citizens of a nation. We are children of the Most High. And so we pray that blessing within the hearts of us all to awaken to the daily responsibility, the daily task, the daily glory of celebrating Christ with each and every person that we encounter, to lifting up that glory of heaven and to sharing the love, the compassion, and the greater understanding of why we are here. Bless us in this time. Guide us in each and every step. Give us the discernment we need and lead us as we need to be led. We declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, patriots, just as we move forward, remember, This is a difficult time, but it's a time with great rewards by truly empowering the body of Christ. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil.
Wait.
Yes.
Hi, guys. Oh. Hi, Mr. Kesterson.
Well, what's going on? Hello, Michelle. You just jumped right in there.
Okay. I wanted to come on here real quick and do a huge shout out to everybody that's been praying for my mom.
Oh, okay.
And thank you, Scott. And give you guys a little bit of an update, if that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Am I allowed to do that? I mean, your show's kind of ending early.
Not really.
It's like not even, you didn't even do a full hour.
I was doing 50 minutes by the time it's out. It's an hour. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So first of all of your messages have meant so much. And every time that Scott does
hold
a show.
On, hold on a minute. You're not coming through. Is everybody?
Am I not coming through?
Can anybody hear Michelle? Go ahead, talk.
You should hear me. You have to hear me.
No, they're not hearing you.
You're right, kidding.
No, hang on. I'm going to change it. They're not hearing you.
Because we're not on chat?
Because we are on chat. This is super loud and noisy behind you. I don't know what you got going. Okay. Go ahead, talk.
Can you hear me now?
Can people hear Michelle? Let's see what we got.
Hello, hello. Do I get a 5x5?
Yep, they got it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Start over.
5x5. All right, they've got me. Okay, so I just wanted to give you guys a little update and to say thank you for all of your prayers for our mom. They have meant more to us than you can possibly imagine. When Scott does his shows and she's listening and you guys are praying, you know, it just so much peace has washed over her. So it has meant so much to us. And then Scott's been covering our shows for us. I don't know if you guys have been tuning into those, but Scott's done several of our shows for us, which has just really, really eased the burden. She is at home and we are taking it one day at a time. The biggest thing that she's dealing with right now is a cough and some anxiety attacks. And then they kind of cycle, they build upon one another. So we're doing a lot of things getting that under control, including, am I allowed to mention CDS on this podcast, Mr. Kesterson?
Hey, what about this podcast?
Am I allowed to mention the chlorine dioxide?
Yes, go
on right Podbean.
Ahead.
Am I going to get kicked off for that?
No, you're not going to get kicked off for that.
Okay, so we've started that and inhaling and taking very, very slowly. Our friend that we're going to have Scott have on his show, Dr. Syed Haider, who pretty much saved my mom's life from Puerto Rico. He is a doctor and he can prescribe medicines, and he does with his My Go-To Doc website, is going to prescribe nebulized NAC for my mom. We will be able to pick that up on Monday, which is huge. Everybody's been saying take NAC, but it's hard on her stomach and it really needs to get in her lungs. So it's 24-hour care right now just because she's so weak and she needs help going to the bathroom, which is very disheartening. But like the other day when you did that show with Pastor Rod Parker, there was so much peace and she just is tuning in and gleaning from Bard's Nation and all of your prayers. And we've been getting messages and text messages and emails. God woke me up in the middle of the night to pray for your mom. Like, my mom is alive today because of your prayers. And I just want to thank you. And I wouldn't otherwise come on late at night like this and interrupt Scott's show, but it was really burning in my spirit to come on and just say thank you and to give you guys an update. She is doing well. She's on home oxygen. She's never been on oxygen before, and her numbers are staying steady as we decline the amount of oxygen that she's getting. So that's huge. So right now we're working on emphysema and COPD and anxiety attacks, and God is giving us answers. And it's just slow going. There's a lot of mucus that she's coughing up, and she's, you know, it's disheartening. So keep praying that her spirit stay strong, that she can realize that we're going to come out on the other side of this. My mom's been strong my entire life, and this time she's just decided it's okay to be taken care of instead of take care of other people. So that's where we're at. But we are out of the danger woods, I believe. And I don't, you know, think that she ever really was in any danger because she's always been in the palm of Jesus's hands, but and also in the prayers of Bard's Nation and Resistance Nation and a countless boatload of other people. But still, we have to stop and give glory to God. And I'm giving glory to God for all of you, for everything that you have done for us and meant to us, and for you too, Mr. Kesterson, for all of your personal messages to Leah and I and encouragement and prayers. They have carried us through, truly. So thank you, and we love you guys.
Thank you.
That's it.
Now, one other thing, bit of bad news for you.
Oh, geez.
None of that went out on Rumble.
You're kidding.
No, all of it went out on Podbean.
That's all right.
So.
Hey, did you advertise for the 8th?
No, you can go ahead and do it since you're here.
No, because they can't hear me on Rumble. You tell them.
Okay.
I'm going to hide my view.
All right.
You tell them. I'll pull up the flyer.
Okay. So don't forget about the 8th. The 8th is the event, and I better pull up the flyer, too, so I can speak it. So here we go. We're going to have two events on the 8th. One's in Ohio and one's in Texas. And this is for the revival for the solar eclipse. Solar eclipse repentance revival, as Pastor Rod Parker Stick called it. We're going to have, it's going to begin on the 7th, the evening of the 7th, each of them at 5 p.m. for a prayer vigil. And then on the 8th, we'll begin at 10 a.m. in the morning, and we'll go all day. And we're going to have some great speakers. You can go to bardsfest.com to get your tickets. And it's not really tickets. It's just to register. And we ask for a donation. If you can afford it, donate what's on your heart. But we're asking if you can't afford it, minimum donation of $25 a person. So we're just head on over there. It's fantastic. It's going to be a great event. Ohio and in Texas. The Texas one is right on the border. It's down in Kamado, Texas. The Ohio event is in Brookville, Ohio. That's at Pastor Neil Peterson's church. And the one in Texas is at the Cornerstone Children's Ranch. So check it out. You'll be very happy you did. And that's it. Anything else? You're good?
No, nothing else.
Okay. All right, Patriots. Thank you. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Coffee and Jesus. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I want to feel something. I just want to breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I want to feel something. Let me get back in.